Take your Bible tonight, please, and go to the Gospel of Luke. And go to chapter 19, if you will. I do see that you're going to be observing the Lord's Supper table tonight, and so I want to give due respect to the time. And so I will, with the Lord's help, be mindful of that. Let's pray, and we'll get to the preaching. Heavenly Father, bless the hour here tonight, and actually the few moments that I'll have as a part of this service. Father, bless the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, and may Your Spirit take the Word and encourage these folks, this body, this New Testament church. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold." Now, I'm going to preach quick, and you'll have to listen quickly to follow along here. But just in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." And then he begins to tell what happened there. And so, from verses 2 through 10 is summarized in verse 1. So something happened when he entered and passed through. And we're going to read about it here, beginning at verse 2. "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he, Jesus, was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." What I'd like to do, if you're not saved tonight, I want to speak to you, preach to you from the Bible. And if you are saved, there's something in here for you as well. Let's go back to verse number 2. What happened here when Jesus entered and passed through Jericho? Well, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." Now, why does the Bible say behold about that? What is there to behold about that? You know that word in the English, behold, what it is, it's like sounding an alarm. It's like ringing the bell and saying, pay attention and don't miss what I'm about to say. Behold this. There's something special here. Well, what is it? The fact that Zacchaeus was a publican? Not really. There were other publicans. Was it because he was rich? I don't think so. There was other rich people. Well, it's found in verse 3. And he, Zacchaeus, he sought to see Jesus. That is something to behold. And for this reason of what it says in verse 2. And he was rich. You know what the Bible says about rich people? Have you ever read that? What Jesus said about rich people? He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. And he said in one other gospel, how hardly shall rich people be saved? Now, why is that? That is because rich people trust in their riches. And Paul wrote to Timothy that there are these rich people who are mindful of earthly things and who sought after riches. The Bible says that they erred from the faith and they pierced themselves through with many sorrows because money was their God. And rich people generally don't seek after God. Why? Because they have their money. And listen, you may not be rich tonight compared to somebody, but if riches and materialism and getting gain and wealth, if that is a god to you, my friend, you better be careful that that doesn't cause you to stumble into hell. Your bank account, your wealth, your desire for riches, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, money's not evil, but the love of money is evil. And so here's a rich man who is seeking to know God. And God is saying, by His Spirit, inspiring Luke, He's saying, you put a behold before that. There are those who think gain is godliness. You know, you may be a rich person in this church, I don't know. But don't think if you have money, you have wealth, you have influence, you have power, that doesn't mean you're godly. Not necessarily. That doesn't even mean that you're saved. Wealth is not a measure of such things. The Bible says, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which He hath promised to them that love Him? And so here's this man Zacchaeus. He's a rich man, and he's the chief of the publicans. And the Bible says he's seeking to know the Lord. But notice what it says in verse 3. He sought to see Jesus, who He was. Now that's important. Let me give an example, if you don't mind, a personal illustration. I was raised up in North Dakota, Grand Forks, a city most people don't even know about. It's primarily Catholic and Protestants. Now, if you didn't know this, Baptists are not Protestants. We didn't have our beginning in the Protestant Reformation. John the Baptist was in the Bible. He wasn't a Protestant. Amen. Now, I came from a Lutheran background. And Martin Luther was a Catholic monk who took one step out of the Catholic Church. Didn't come very far. And he basically was a refined Catholic. And in Martin Luther's catechism, it mentions in there, and I had to memorize this to be confirmed, that by partaking of the sacraments, what they call sacraments, in fact, this here they would say is a sacrament. You eat the wafer, you drink what they use as wine, you'll have saving grace. Well, the Bible doesn't say you eat Jesus. You don't receive Him into your stomach to be saved. You receive Him into your heart. It's a spiritual matter. The Bible says that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. Amen? We don't eat Jesus to get saved. But that's what I was taught. I was also taught that as a baby, when my parents had me baptized, which is no baptism at all, but when the priest sprinkled the water on my head, I entered into the family of God. That's what I was taught. Well, that's not what the Bible says. You see, I came from a Lutheran background. I was taught that the Jesus of the Lutheran Church saved people through this, you know, through the sacraments of Holy Communion and so-called baptism. It wasn't baptism, I'm using their terminology. That Jesus, folks, is not the Jesus of the Bible. Now, they have the same name. They go by the same name. You know, my name is Scott. I've met other Scotts in this world. Have you not met other people named Scott? Josh, have you met other Joshes before? Sure. You share the same name, but you're different people. And the Jesus of the Lutheran Church is not the Jesus of the Bible, because the Jesus Christ in the Bible, He doesn't save through those things. You see. So, as a Lutheran man, as a 19-year-old teenager, I had in my mind, well, this is who Jesus is. But I had to come to the place where I had to say, okay, Lord, I am willing to be taught the Bible. I'm willing to come with an open mind and an open heart, and You teach me who Jesus is according to the Scriptures, not according to what I was taught in a catechism. I want to know who the Jesus of the Bible is. And so I sought to see Jesus, who He was, not necessarily who I was told He was. You see, you may have some preconceived ideas about who Jesus Christ is. But let me tell you something, folks. You need to be willing to lay those things aside and make sure that what you are being taught comes from the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Excuse me. And so here was Zacchaeus. He sought to see Jesus, who He was. And the Bible says he could not for the press. That simply means Zacchaeus was a little guy. And if you read in the Bible, you'll find where Jesus went, there was always crowds of people thronging Him. And do you remember that time when Jesus was with His disciples and He was walking along the road and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Master, you see the crowds of people and you're saying, 'Who touched me?'" And Jesus says, "Oh no, somebody touched me with a touch of faith, with a touch of belief, because virtue has gone out of me." You see, Christ had people around Him everywhere He went. And Zacchaeus, because he was so little, he couldn't penetrate the crowds of people. Now, what did Zacchaeus do? Let me say this to you, folks. Zacchaeus would not be hindered by any obstacle with him coming to Christ. This man wanted to see Jesus for who He was. Now, I have a question for you. How did this man, Zacchaeus, the chief of the publicans, how is it that he even sought to see Jesus in the first place? Who witnessed to Zacchaeus? Who told Zacchaeus about Jesus Christ? He had to hear about Him, amen? Somebody told him. Who was it? Well, take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 6. Excuse me, Luke chapter 5. Hold your place in Luke 19. The Bible says here in Luke chapter 5, verse number 27, "And after these things, he," Jesus, "went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, 'Follow me.' And he left all, rose up, and followed him." Here is Levi. Another name for Levi was Matthew in the Bible. And Matthew became one of the apostles of Christ. He became a charter member of the first Baptist church in Jerusalem, according to 1 Corinthians 12:28. So here is Matthew, and he's sitting at the receipt of custom, and he's a publican. Now, a lot of people look at this and they say, well, this is when Matthew got saved. Jesus went up to him and said, "Follow me," and he left all and followed Him. Well, that's not necessarily true. This is not when Matthew got saved. Matthew was already saved. And the reason that he was willing to leave all, rise up and follow Christ, is because he was saved already. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So when did Matthew get saved? Well, if you compare Scripture with Scripture, you'll find out that Matthew got saved while hearing the preaching of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist baptized Matthew. And John the Baptist taught the disciples whom he prepared for the Lord. John had his disciples. And Andrew was one of them. And you can read in John there was others. John had his disciples. And John was teaching those people after they repented, after they got baptized. He then told them, "He must increase, I must decrease. When Messiah comes, you follow Him." He taught His disciples that. And so here's Jesus Christ beginning His public ministry. He goes up to Matthew and He says, "Matthew, follow me." And Matthew was willing and ready to follow Jesus Christ because he was already a saved man. He was saved and baptized under the ministry of John the Baptist. Now, Matthew was what by profession? Matthew was a publican. So who is his boss? Who is the chief among the publicans? Zacchaeus. Amen. You know what I think happened? Brother Josh, I think that when Matthew got saved, I believe that Matthew was so excited about his salvation. I believe that Matthew was just zealous and excited that he got saved from his thievery. That's what publicans were in those days. They were thieves. They were covetous. And Matthew got so excited, he went to his boss, Zacchaeus, and he said, "You know what, Zacchaeus? I got saved. I heard this Baptist preacher preaching over by the River Jordan telling me that I needed to repent." You remember in Luke, I think it is, when John was preaching, the Bible says different classes of people came to John the Baptist and they said, "Well, what shall we do?" And John the Baptist said to the publicans, "Exact no more than what is due unto you. You're a thief. You need to repent of your sin and be saved." And they did that. Matthew did that. "Zacchaeus, I got saved. I'm not going to be a thief anymore. I'm not going to steal for me. I'm not going to steal for you. I'm not going to steal from people. I got saved. I'm a new person in Christ. I'm going to follow the Messiah when He comes. I got saved. I'm giving you my notice, Zacchaeus. When Messiah comes, I'm leaving my job and I'm following Him." And I think that Zacchaeus was bothered by that. Why would Matthew, a publican who's getting rich, who could possibly take over my job as chief of the publicans, why would Matthew just rise up and walk away from this high-paying job? What would cause a man to do that? And who does Matthew think that he is to tell me that I'm a sinner and that I'm a thief and that I need to be saved and I need to be born again and I need to follow this Messiah? Well, it started to bother Zacchaeus. And I think that Zacchaeus was so bugged by Matthew's testimony. One of his employees, if you will, the time came when Zacchaeus thought, I have got to see Jesus for who He is. He's an incredible man. I've been hearing so many things about Him. So he did. And Zacchaeus would not be hindered, folks. Let me tell you something. If you're not saved tonight, and if you decide in your heart that you are going to seek Jesus for who He is, you can expect there to be some opposition. Because you have an adversary of your soul called Satan, the devil. He does not want you to be saved. He does not want you to be taken from the pit of hell. He wants you to be damned. He wants you to die lost. And he will do all that he can to keep you from coming to Christ. Do you remember that man who was carried by his friends on that couch, the Bible says, and they got to the house, Jesus was on the inside. There was people on the inside, people standing on the outside. And there was no way that these four men could take their friend and carry them through the crowd and get into the house to see Jesus. So what did they do? Those four friends said to the man on the couch, don't worry about it, man. We're going to bring you to Jesus. No matter what we have to do, we're going to get you to Jesus Christ. And what they did was, they started looking around and somebody came up with the idea, let's go up to the roof. Let's start taking the tiles apart on the roof. We'll get you in there to see the Lord. And while Jesus is speaking on the inside of the house, preaching to those Pharisees and Sadducees and to those religious Jews, suddenly there was a crack in the ceiling. And the dust started to fall on the people's heads and light started to break through and they started to look around and what's the noise and what's going on? And suddenly there's this big gaping hole in the ceiling and they started lowering this man down. And Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, you know how upset they were about that. Who can forgive sins but God only? Well, that's true, only God, but Jesus was God. Amen. They would not be hindered in coming to Christ, bringing that man to Christ. And let me tell you, my friend, if you're not saved and you want to seek Jesus for who He is, expect there to be some opposition. Maybe it'll be your own self. Maybe it'll be your own pride. I can't admit to people I'm lost. I mean, I'm a deacon in the church. I'm a musician in the church. I'm a Sunday school teacher. But I've never been born again. I can't admit that. What will people think? Could be your own pride. Maybe it'll be family. You get saved and you become a Baptist. You're going to be disowned from this home. That happened to me. But didn't Jesus say that He came to bring a sword? He would set a man at variance against his father, against the son and the father and the daughter-in-law, against the mother-in-law. Didn't Jesus say that? There could be a price to pay for you. If you get saved, some of your family may reject you and your foes may be they of your own household. Well, that happened to me. There was a price to pay. My mother disowned me when I got saved and left the Lutheran church and became a Bible-believing Baptist. But I was going to follow the Lord. Well, Zacchaeus, what did he do? He found out where Jesus had been. He found out where he was going and he thought, I am going to see this man. I'm going to see Christ, Jesus, for who he is. He ran ahead, found out where the Lord was going, ran ahead, and Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree. And he sat there in the tree and waited for Jesus to pass that way. He didn't care about what the people thought. Can you imagine seeing Mr. Zacchaeus, the man who people knew in the community, he's sitting up in a tree along the road? He didn't care. And the Bible says that Jesus, He came to the place and He looked up and He saw him and He said, Zacchaeus, Make haste. Now, how did Jesus know that man? They had never met before. Zacchaeus had never met Jesus before. Jesus had never met Zacchaeus before. And yet Jesus called Zacchaeus by name. How did he know that? Well, he knows all of our names, amen. He knows everything about us. He knows what we did last night, last week. He knows what we do in the secret places of our home. You see, he can read your mind. He can go in and read the imageries of your mind. He's God. And he mentions Zacchaeus by name. You know, God loved Zacchaeus, and Jesus Christ was seeking Zacchaeus to save him. And when Jesus Christ, in his love, ladies, when he comes looking for a sinner to save the sinner, he's going to call you by your name. And he'll speak to your heart. Why? Because God is a personal God, and he wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants you to be saved if you're not born again. He said to Zacchaeus, he said, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ wanted to come to Zacchaeus' house, that old sinner, that publican Zacchaeus. And you know, the same is true for you, my friend. You are a sinner like Zacchaeus was. You come from the same fallen race that he does. We all go back to Adam, who brought sin into this world. We're all sinners who were born in sin, dead in trespasses and sins. We all need to be saved. We all need to be regenerated. We all need to be converted, just like Zacchaeus. And Christ came to him and called him by name and said, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house. I want to abide in your house. And if you're not saved tonight, my friend, Jesus Christ wants to come to your house and he wants to save you. He wants to move into your soul and there abide forever. And notice this, the Bible says he came to the place. Zacchaeus came down, he made haste and he received him, Jesus, joyfully. Now, you compare Scripture with Scripture. What does the Bible say in John 1:11? He, Jesus, he came unto his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, Christ, as many as received him, to them, not anybody else, to them he gave the power of God, that they might become the sons of God. Do you know why you have to be given the power to be saved? Because you don't have it yourself, and neither do I. As many as received Him, as many as received Christ, to them, not anybody else, to them gave He the power of God. Amen. You know, to save a sinner from his sins, to forgive him of all of his sins, that takes a lot of power. And it's a power we don't have. We cannot save ourselves. We could never be good enough to earn heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. You try to save yourself, sir, you won't get saved. You try to please God by your own self-righteousness, you'll never do it. There's none righteous, no, not one. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, the Bible says. That's why we need a Savior. We need Jesus Christ. And to those who receive Him, to them gave He the power, listen, to become the sons of God. Now, if you're going to become something, you weren't that before. You're going to become a son of God when you receive Christ. To them which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but you're born of God. What does it mean, not being born of blood? That means that just because daddy and mommy are saved, that doesn't mean that you're saved. You see, salvation's not passed through the blood to the child. You know what's passed through the blood? The sin nature. Salvation comes by receiving Christ. So you're not saved by blood, nor of the will of the flesh. You can't save yourself. I can't save myself. Not by my flesh. In my flesh dwells no good thing. And we're not saved by the will of man. No other man can save you, but you're born of God when you receive Christ.
by faith. Well, finally, we know Zacchaeus got saved because look in verse 8. We see a changed man, a converted man. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. Now remember, Zacchaeus is rich. Brother, how much is half? What percentage? 50%. Right now, 50% is gone, given to the poor. So you've got 50% remaining. What does he do with the other 50%? Lord, if I've taken anything by any man by a false accusation, I'm going to give him back fourfold, four times as much. With that 50%, I'm repaying people four times than what I took. Zacchaeus was rich. Let me tell you something. How do you take a money-hungry, covetous man who's living for money, who's serving money, how is it that at a moment in time, folks, he can be so changed where now he's giving away all of his money? Only by the power of God. Conversion in Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You know how else I know he got saved? Not only by his converted life, but Jesus said he did. In verse number 9, this day of salvation come to this house. Listen, if Jesus says you're saved, you're saved. That's assurance. You know how I know I'm saved? God's Spirit that indwells my soul, He tells me I'm saved. I have assurance. God's Spirit tells me I'm saved, and the conversion that I have experienced in my life tells me I'm saved. The Word of God tells me I'm saved. Zacchaeus. He's in heaven tonight. And if you're saved, you're going to meet this man. And you'll be able to hear his testimony from his own lips in heaven. As we gather around the throne of God to worship the One who came and died, was buried, and rose again that we might have eternal life. If you're not saved tonight, you need to come, receive Christ. Be willing to repent of your sins. Let Christ take away your sins. You turn to the Lord, put your faith in Him. You receive Him, trusting Jesus to do all of the saving, all by Himself. And He'll save you and He'll change you. He'll make you a new person. You'll be born again. And if you're saved tonight, folks, don't underestimate your testimony. When Matthew witnessed to Zacchaeus, he probably never had any idea that it would turn out the way that he did. That it did. Witness to your neighbor. Witness to your boss. Share your testimony with them. And tell other people what Christ has done for you. Amen. People will get saved. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads tonight, please. If you're not saved, the Bible teaches you're without God, you're without Christ, and you have no hope. You're an enemy of God, the Bible says. You're at enmity against God. You're considered to be ungodly and unrighteous. Jesus Christ wants to abide at your house. He wants to save you from your sins and from those sinful habits that control you. He wants to set you free from those things, but you must be willing to come to Christ. You must be willing to seek Jesus for who He is. Be willing to confess your sin. Be willing to repent of your sin and put your faith in Christ. He'll save you, just like He did to Zacchaeus. And if you're saved tonight, are you being a witness for the Lord? Perhaps you used to witness, but you don't now. If you're not witnessing like you used to, it's probably because you've got sin in your life. You need to come to the Lord and confess your sins and ask Him to fill you with your spirit, with His Spirit, that you might be a burning and a shining light and a testimony for the gospel. I'm going to have the instruments come and play. If they'll play number 308, I Surrender All. You need to surrender all to the Lord tonight, folks. If you're not saved, you need to do that to be saved. If you are saved, you need to surrender all that you might be in a right relationship with Him. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear.